Hare Krishna. Reading from My Glorious Master, Manila, 1972. No second center. Jagatrini began carrying the deities everywhere, rather her deities everywhere, or our deities everywhere. During one of Prabhupada's lectures at the temple, Prabhupada climbed the high Vyasasan steps and began to speak. Jagatrini sat on the floor to the left of the Vyasasan and placed her three deities before her on a velvet cloth. As Prabhupada spoke, it occurred to her that it may be inappropriate to have the deities on the floor. So she carefully transferred them to the steps of Prabhupada's Vyasasan. When the lecture ended and Prabhupada was ready to climb down the steps, he saw the deities. Jagatrini had been slow in removing them. He beckoned her forward. When you are here, you can place the deities on the temple altar. You should not establish another center in the temple. My comment. Prabhupada waited for the perfect moment to instruct us about the general standard for devotees living in temples. Temples should have one center rather than individual devotees conducting independent worship. Temple devotees should rally around the temple center, the temple deities. Two lotuses near Krishna in Balaram. Jagatrini followed Prabhupada's order to keep the deities on the altar, but she still occasionally carried the deities with her in a box. On the final day of Prabhupada's visit, we sat around Prabhupada as he relaxed behind the round glass hotel table. Jagatrini placed the deities and their cloth on the table as Prabhupada began his breakfast. Prabhupada viewed the deities as he took prasad. When he finished and his plate had been removed, he moved to put his feet up on the table. Seeing the deities, he hesitated. Then he stretched his legs out on the floor. Later, as he continued speaking, he again went to put his feet on the table, but again saw the deities and stopped. Finally, he simply placed both feet on the table and continued speaking. My comment. We were so foolish that we neglected to remove the deities even after Prabhupada's two indirect requests. In our childish simplicity, we were satisfied to see Prabhupada's lotus feet on the breakfast table near the deities. Jagatrini, of course, quickly removed the deities, appreciating how Prabhupada was completely relaxed and had acted without adding to her embarrassment. Expertise. Sudama Vipraswami arranged a lecture for Prabhupada in the hotels. This was the Hotel Manila, Hotel Intercontinental. The hotel's enormous, elegantly decorated banquet hall. Despite the government's ban on advertising, because again, there was martial law that the president had declared. Despite the government's ban on advertising, the news spread and the hall was packed. 500 Indians and Filipinos attended. Immediately after his lecture, Prabhupada called for questions. One Indian man stood up and he said in a loud voice, "Isn't it true that the all-inclusive conception of the absolute..." Oh, he rambled on. After about 3 minutes, the audience began fidgeting. Prabhupada leaned towards the microphone and asked, "Are you finished?" "No," the man retorted, and he continued for another 2 minutes. Again, Prabhupada asked, "Are you finished yet?" "No, let me speak." His monologue of disjointed, spiritual sounding phrases continued. After another 3 minutes, the audience began to wax angry. You could feel it. He understood that the sympathy of the people were not on him. Then Prabhupada again gently spoke into the microphone. "Are you finished yet?" "Yes," he said. "Now I am finished." Then Prabhupada thundered into the microphone. "Then sit down." The banquet hall filled with laughter and cheering. My comment. Had Prabhupada interrupted the man before he was able to, quote, ask his self-serving, quote, question, the audience would have favored the man. Prabhupada waited and allowed the man to parade his foolishness. When the audience had sufficient time to realize the man's motives, that he just wanted to hear himself speaking, basically, Prabhupada then, with the full backing of the audience, demanded that the man sit down. Prabhupada was expert. Practical bravery. We visited Prabhupada in his room during the day. In the evening, we would see him during the kirtan and lecture in the temple in San Juan. On the first day, Prabhupada traveled from the hotel to San Juan through the late afternoon traffic. The air was filled with smog, there was a traffic jam, and the Filipino drivers drove wildly. On the second day, a lorry almost smashed into Prabhupada's car. Prabhupada went to the temple that second day, but he said the roads were unsafe, and he never went again. My comment. Prabhupada would tolerate unlimited personal inconvenience to help a disciple or to spread Krishna consciousness. He was fearless. He had continued preaching in Calcutta even when his life was threatened by Naxalite extremists. Yet, ISKCON and its worldwide preaching depended upon him. Therefore, he chose not to risk the Manila traffic just to give a lecture at the San Juan Temple. Prabhupada was always practical. A Hong Kong surprise. Prabhupada flew on to India after staying in Manila for less than a week. Even though his stay was short, we were energized by his association. Thinking of my future preaching in Manila, I left for Hong Kong to wind up my affairs. A short tour of Hong Kong's intense materialism seemed bearable, and I set out to collect money and ship out temple's possessions to Manila. I also picked up from a Hong Kong publisher a newly printed Chinese edition of Back to Godhead magazine, airmailing 5 copies to Prabhupada in India. I happily returned to Manila, my new preaching field. But the relief of brighter preaching fields was not meant to be. After only 1 month of preaching in the Filipino mountain resort city of Baguio, it became clear to me that I belonged in Hong Kong. I returned, and just after my first week back, I received a letter from Prabhupada, written after he received the Chinese BTG. His reply had been forwarded from the Philippines and requested that I return to Hong Kong. I immediately telegraphed Prabhupada my new Hong Kong address, and several days later, I received his return telegraph. May Krishna bless you more and more. Signed, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami. My comment. I read Prabhupada's telegram and understood that Prabhupada was blessing me more and more and more and more for eternity. My understanding of the depth of his eternal blessing is shallow, but that does not limit the depth of his blessing, nor does it limit the eternal good fortune it brings. My lack of spiritual strength, my lack of surrender, and my lack of determination only allowed me to remain in Hong Kong for another 2 years. But Prabhupada's more and more blessings keeps afloat my ongoing, very meager attempts in devotional service. Hare Krishna. So that ends that chapter. We shall continue. Hare Krishna. We'll end here. Hare Krishna.